You are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. I am your host, Michael Bauer, the best in the business. Once again, back in business, joined as always by my faithful co-host, Nate, the Professor Christian. What's up, Nate?
Mike, I am so excited right now. Today, the Ravens signed Derrick Henry, and I can't think of any better 1-2 punch than Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the backfield doing some RPOs and stuff. Like, it's going to be great.
I could think of one. How about Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley?
Oh, hey, that's a pretty good one, too.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how both scenarios go. You know, Derrick Henry a little bit older, but Saquon Barkley also has some, you know, he's also had some tread taken off of his tires as well.
There you go.
I am definitely here for seeing the Giants fans melt down. It's funny, too, because, like, we don't care if an Eagles player goes to the Giants. We care if they go to the Cowboys. But also, I guess it depends on the player, too. Saquon Barkley, kind of the cornerstone piece, much like Derrick Henry was for a long time in Tennessee. I knew something was going to happen when Gus Edwards signed with the Chargers. But I'm excited to see what this Ravens offense looks like next year, honestly. It's going to be fun. You think they grab another wide receiver in the draft? I think they do.
I think they definitely grab a wide receiver, but I don't know if they grab a running back or not. They might just bring someone in either through UDFA or maybe just some like veteran minimum. I mean, if they're feeling pretty good with Derrick Henry, they love Justice Hill there. They're more than happy with him as the RB2, I think. Yeah. And then, you know, I don't have any expectations for Keaton Mitchell, but there's going to be one other guy added to that backfield. We'll see if it's a late round pick or undrafted free agent or something like that.
Was that a 2-year deal for Derrick Henry?
I believe so, yeah. But they can kind of get out after 1 year if they need to. Yeah. Not too big. So
I do want to just remind everyone that Todd Gurley is not 30 yet.
That's crazy, man.
You want to talk about, and this is why, you know, this is important because you want to talk about when to sell players, when to move on. You want to talk about somebody who is at the very top of his game and then just hit that cliff. You know, and you need to know when to pull the trigger. There's tough decisions to make. The Ravens have a tough call to make with their backup running back situation, just like the Eagles do, because after Saquon Barkley, it's Kenny Gainwell, who, to me, you can just go elsewhere. But look, that rookie draft is coming up, and we have tough decisions to make. So we're going to have a little bit of a versus scenario going on tonight, and I did include Dynasty Rewind ADP. If you'd like to get in on helping make Dynasty Rewind ADP, patreon.com/Dynasty Rewind. And Nate, you could be there for a week for free. What's better than free? You know what? A week free, it's on me. Come hang out. We hope you stick around for a while. So let's get to our first scenario. And Bob put the show sheet together. I kind of feel like the way he put it together, he was pitting us against each other. Guys he knew that you like, guys he knew that I like. And hey, that's okay. It's okay to have differing opinions or in Nate's case, just be wrong. I'm kidding. So let's get to the first one. And this is Rome Odunze versus Malik Nabers. Rome Odunze, his current ADP. Again, I'm using Dynasty Rewind ADP. It's the 106. He's wide receiver 3. Malik Nabers, the 105, wide receiver 2. So, Nate, who did you choose? And then we'll get to me.
Yeah, this is a tough one. And, you know, we have to preface this with whichever one of these two players you might end up with, you're going to be happy. I think we both really like both these guys. But if we have to choose, if you're making me choose right now, I'm leaning Rome Odunze, actually. Okay. And I know that's probably the less popular pick of these two. I know Malik Nabers is the wide receiver 2 in this ADP. You know, he's the consensus wide receiver 2. And some might even have him as the wide receiver 1 in this class. But Rome Odunze, for me, he is just so pro-ready. And I know he's been in college a bit longer, but that helps, I think, him transition into the NFL faster than maybe Nabers might. Look, the 75% contested catch rate, that catchability that Rome Odunze shows off, he's a good enough athlete. Like, he's a plus athlete. He can have, he's a really silky route runner. I know there's some separation questions, but it's not that he can't separate. There's just some inconsistencies, but also I think Michael Penix throws a lot of contested catch balls. So, you know, which comes first, you know, between the two of those things. But when he's in those contested catch situations, he just does so well. And that's something that he has done throughout his entire career, really. And that's something that's going to also just translate to the NFL. I like that. But Mike, this is where, you know, I made a little four level threat with Romo Dunze. Okay. We hear about three level threats. Do they win all three levels of the field? Well, I'm adding the fourth level here. And I'm explaining to you how at all four levels of the field, Romo Dunze beats neighbors. Okay. Here's my argument for Romo Dunze.
All right. Let's hear it.
Deep. He's a deep threat, right? 15.5 average depth of target compared to neighbors who had a 12.2 average depth of target. So you know, over 3 yards farther down the field on average, he's being targeted. And that shows off his ability to win deep. All right. Reliable in the intermediate area. So this is like between 10 and 19 yards down the field. 66.7% catch rate in that area. Neighbors 58.8%. So more reliable in the middle of the field, which is a really important area at the NFL level. And then he also wins short. You know, in those physical battles off the line of scrimmage, Romo Dunze has 83.3% contested catch rate within 10 yards of line of scrimmage, while Neighbors, 33%. That's only 3 out of 9 contested catches he made off in that short area. And then here's the fourth level, Mike, behind the line of scrimmage. You know, you would think that Neighbors is the more explosive guy, the guy that creates more after the catch, but yards after the catch per reception behind the line of scrimmage, when targeted behind the line of scrimmage, Neighbors 6.6 and Romo Dunze 9.2. So there it is. Comprehensive Romo Dunze over Neighbors.
You know, it's funny because you picked out the stats that help your case and I picked out the stats that help mine. It's just, it's how it goes, right? Yes, you have to put in things to fit your narrative. I'm going with Malik Neighbors. You know why? I think he could separate better. And if it comes down to just that, it comes down to just that. But obviously there's more to it than that. And for the record, like Nate said, if I get Romo Dunze, if I get Malik Neighbors, I'm happy either way. Of course, it's March 12th. These guys don't have an NFL team yet. So things could change in about a month and a half. And I will concede that Romo Dunze is a much better contested catch receiver at 75% to 45.5%. But again, you don't need to be good at contested catching when you can separate so good like Malik Neighbors can. Neighbors wins in yards after catch per reception, 6.6 to 5.6, and yards per route run, 3.64 to 2.93. Now, Odunze does have more yards, 3,271, 3,015. That also took him an extra year to do it. Yards per reception is close as well. Malik Neighbors, 15.9, and Romo Dunze is 15.3. That is for their career. So these guys are close there. And again, in all honesty, I'm happy to get either player. For me, Malik Neighbors wins just by hair. Just by hair. But as you can see, it's close in the ADP as well. And, you know, we recognize that. That's what we're looking at. I'm just curious to see how it would be if Marvin Harrison Jr. wasn't in this draft class, because then the real debate would be.
We would have quite the little topic to talk about all offseason.
Sometimes I like when there isn't that clear cut number one, just to kind of drive those discussions a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, the first year that we scouted together, it was CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy who were the two wide receiver ones in the draft class, and it was not consensus. Some people had Jerry Jeudy, some people had CeeDee Lamb. And look how that worked out. Quite the opposite.
Jerry Jeudy is a Brown. No.
He is.
Good for him, I guess. Wait till they re-sign Flacco. They'll be good. No, they did sign Jameis Winston. So they have a competent quarterback now in Cleveland. Let's move on. Trey Benson versus Jalen Wright. Trey Benson, the 207 running back 4. Jalen Wright, the 206 running back 3. Nate, when you went to fill this out, did you think that I would have been slotted in for Trey Benson?
I did originally.
So did I. And I looked at a few more things, but why don't you start with who you got?
All right. Who I got, Mike, you know I don't like running backs.
We know.
This is a pick 'em. I can go either way. I think these players are actually pretty similar. You know, Mike, I like to talk about those athletes who play running back and, you know, they're used to out-athleting the other players on the field. That's what they've done in high school. That's what they even did in the college because they're that great of athletes. And we see that with both Trey Benson and Jalen Wright. They have absolutely developed as runners. That's what's got them this far, and that's why they're in that day two conversation. But they're just not as natural runners as guys like Blake Corum or Jonathan Brooks. So for me, you know, I could go either way with these guys. You know, I think both of them have huge home run speed and can make those big plays. But I think with Benson, you know, if he's not hitting those home runs, is he giving me consistent positive yardage? I think he's a little boom bust with how he runs. Because I don't think his vision is quite as far along as you think, which is fine. I still think he's good though. I think he's still like a top three running back in this draft class. And then Jalen Wright, really mostly the same idea. I think Jalen Wright, he really likes to push it outside, and he faced a lot of light boxes playing for Tennessee. He likes to kick it outside a lot, and I think that's going to, you know, kind of limit him at the next level. So I have my reservations about both these guys, but I think they both offer similar upside. So with ADP being so similar, I'll just take whichever one's the ones that falls to me.
Yeah. So it's close, but I'm choosing Jalen Wright. My main concern here is I feel like his vision at the line of scrimmage is slightly better than Trey Benson's, but you know, we're looking at it. They're close and everything. I think they're 40 times up here, right? Benson ran a 4.39. Yeah. Jalen Wright ran a 4.38. They're pretty close in size too. Wright is 5'11", 210. Benson is 6'1", 223. So obviously not.
Benson's still bigger.
Still pretty close. I like Jalen Wright's cuts and agility and overall speed just slightly better. Fun fact, did you know that Trey Benson had one game over 100 yards last year? And it was actually 200 yards, 11 carries for 200 yards and two touchdowns versus Virginia Tech. Well, Jalen Wright, six games over 100 yards. He had more rushing yards overall, 1,010 to 905. Now, Trey Benson used as a receiver more. I don't think that's a knock on Jalen Wright. I just think that's how Tennessee's offense operated. Yeah. I'm confident in Jalen Wright's ability to do it. So, again, I'm picking Jalen Wright. However, it is close, much like Nick Neighbors and Roman Dunze. And, hey, I think for this right now, this is a hard one to pick. This one will be more landing spot dependent than Malik Nabers and Roman Dunze will be. Running backs, very much so. Really important.
Yep.
So I know how you're going on the next one, but let's talk about Georgia wide receiver Ladd McConkey versus Oregon wide receiver Troy Franklin. Ladd McConkey, the 204, our wide receiver 8, and Troy Franklin, the 109, our wide receiver 5. Nate, go ahead and talk about Ladd McConkey because I knew that's where you're going.
Oh, man. So underrated, Mike, Ladd McConkey. All right, let's break it down. Let's look at the physical traits of these two players. So you got Ladd McConkey, 6 foot, 186. Troy Franklin, 6'2", 176. I did hear he came in at like 183 at his pro day today, but let's be honest, he plays at like 175. That's just who he is. So McConkey, I like his frame a bit more. Troy Franklin, we know he's a little slim, not too much though. In today's NFL, I'm not too worried about it. So it's similar. Okay, let's look at the 40 times. So Ladd ran a 4.39, Troy a 4.41. So pretty similar. Ladd's got him beat a little bit, but we'll just chalk it up to a better start technique, right? Well, we look at that better start, and this is the difference for me, Mike. Ladd McConkey with his 10-yard split, 1.52 seconds. Troy Franklin, 1.61 seconds in that 10-yard split, almost a tenth of a second longer. And I think with Troy Franklin, what this kind of shows us is that I think he's going to be limited to more of a deep threat role in the NFL. And that was one of my concerns watching the tape. I think he's a good route runner. I think he, you know, creates yards after the catch rather well. And I'll talk about those things in a second, but I don't think he does either one of those things as well as Ladd. And I think because you see this quickness that isn't quite as quick as Ladd's, he's more of a, hey, let me get running and then I'm going to fly by the defense and test that defense. I think that's what Franklin brings to the table. I think that's how he'll probably be used a bit more in the NFL than Ladd McConkey. And as we know, you know, those guys who get peppered with targets, especially closer to the line of scrimmage, they can be so valuable for fantasy football. And when we're looking at this from a fantasy perspective, especially, I'm definitely leaning Ladd rather than Troy because of that PPR upside kind of, you know, with how I expect his role to play out at the next level. What are you thinking, Mike?
Well, I think it's funny you're talking about PPR perspective, which is points per reception, which is something that Ladd McConkey didn't have a ton of at Georgia. Ooh. I'm going Troy Franklin here, and I like McConkey. I do think that the McConkey Tunk moniker is really stupid, though. Just throwing it out there. No, it's fine. I just prefer the better production over 3 years. I understand. We were always talking about how Georgia doesn't have a very good wide receiver room. Then why can't this guy get on the field? Honestly, and also I do think the whole
health issues.
Georgia's offense wasn't that great. I think there was a time where they were ripping off like 40 points a game. You know, when Stetson Bennett was ripping off natties a couple years in a row. By the way, Stetson Bennett working out in Texas looks good. So hopefully all's going well with him. Hopefully see you back on a practice field soon. We did talk about Ladd McConkey's back injury. That's a concerning thing because, you know, your spine, kind of important, kind of a big deal. I love Troy Franklin, the separator. I love his ball tracking, and I absolutely love his late hands. He's got those A.J. Brown late hands. Not worried about the frame. Check this out. You like stats? Of course you do. You're a fantasy football guy. Troy Franklin had 1,383 yards in 2023. Ladd McConkey has 1,692 career receiving yards. So just saying, that's production, baby.
That's true.
I'm going Troy Franklin. I don't know how much Ladd McConkey I'm going to have. He's very situation dependent for me, to be honest with you. I don't think he is a plug and play wide receiver in any offense in the NFL. I really don't. If he goes somewhere and they're like, we want to give him a Cooper Kupp type role, I'm going to be like, yeah, sign me up for that. Cause I think I could see that, but I don't think he's
like a Deontay Johnson. That's kind of the comp I've given him before.
Well, the Steelers could use a Deontay Johnson type receiver now.
They sure could.
So also I do want to just say one thing. If everyone was talking about how bad this running back class was, well, the NFL free agency period is telling you maybe it is. So
yeah, that's something we're definitely seeing.
But we've also seen guys get signed and lose jobs because of the draft. So you know what I mean? The guy comes in and then a team is able to draft someone that they didn't think that they were going to get. And then there's older veterans walking out the door.
They also want to make sure they have their situation figured out going into the draft if possible.
So much of our focus here is protecting our assets in Dynasty, keeping the long-term vision in mind. Aura reflects this mindset with the most important assets in your life. Have you ever received a spam call or suspicious email? It's not just annoying, it's a sign of a much larger problem. Behind these unwanted communications are data brokers, websites that buy and sell your personal information without your consent. I recently did a search for my own name online and was shocked to find my information plastered across multiple data broker sites. That's when I realized just how vulnerable my online presence really was. Enter Aura. They're more than just an online security service. They're your personal bodyguard in the digital world. Aura actively identifies which data brokers are selling your info and takes swift action by sending opt-out requests on your behalf. Not only does this cut down on spam, but it also shields you and your loved ones from potential cyber threats and hackers. Think about it. Your address, email, health records, even details about your family are all out there for anyone to exploit. But Aura doesn't just stop at protection. They offer unparalleled convenience, too. With their comprehensive suite of tools, including antivirus, VPN, password management, and identity theft insurance, you can safeguard your online presence with ease from the app on your phone or desktop. It's like locking all your doors with one key. I've made the choice to take my online privacy seriously, and with Aura by my side, I have the peace of mind to focus on what truly matters. If you value your privacy as much as I do, don't wait any longer. Check out Aura today and take control of your online presence. Go to aura.com/dynastyrewind to start your 2-week free trial on us. The link will be in the description of this podcast. Don't wait. Protect yourself today. All right, so let's get to our next one. We have Malachi Corley versus Jalen Polk. Those of you who don't know who Jalen Polk is, I haven't seen a lot of people talk about him. He's from the University of Washington. Great wide receiver core out there. Roma Dunze, Jalen Polk, and Jalen McMillan. If they would have a better quarterback, they might have won a national championship. Ooh. Malachi Corley being called here the screen. Hey, listen, man. I can't be wrong if I'm right. He's being called the screen merchant. I've also heard him referred to as the yak god. His ADP right now is the 301. He's wide receiver 11. These guys are close too. Jalen Polk, the 211, wide receiver 10. Nate, I believe we differ on this one, and we do. I like both players, but I'll explain why I prefer who I do. But let's kick it off with you.
All right. With Polk, I'm preferring Polk. I like Polk more than Corley here. Jalen Polk. And he showed enough speed to me. He ran a 4.52 at the 40-yard dash with a 1.52 10-yard split. So the same split as Labakonki, Mike. He's got a faster split than Troy Franklin. That 1.52 10-yard split, by the way, is 76th percentile. So we're talking, you know, upper quarter athleticism there. Also, vertical and broad jump, also upper quarter percentile. So he's checked all the boxes for me athletically. 6'1", 203, so he's got a really nice frame to work with. He's truly already fleshed out to be an NFL player from an athleticism and size. So strong hands, tracks the ball really well, and he moves the chains consistently. Like, you go out there and Polk does everything right, and he shows these little nuances of route running that really impress me. It's the little head fakes. It's the feet at the top of his stem. It's how he has the body control and knowing where he is on the sideline to make those tough catches. He just does so many things. He looks like an NFL wide receiver, honestly, already. The problem with Jalen Polk is that I don't know if he offers anything at an elite level to give him that upside to, you know, be a top 20 wide receiver in Dynasty or anything like that. Yet, despite that missing extra elite ability, I think he's just such a good pro. I've actually comped him to Jacoby Myers, a player that is just really good and in the right situation can be really fantasy productive. So I'm a big fan of Polk. And Corley, I think he's really good as well. He's more athletic. He offers a lot more after the catch. We know that for sure. But I wonder if he's going to be manufactured touches, like some of these other players we've seen that have been, you know, really, really good after the catch, but not as refined route runners, not as refined wide receivers. And when you're thinking about a refined wide receiver, that is exactly what Jalen Polk is. And that's why I'm going with him.
I actually, this is going to be weird to say, but hear me out, because both things can be true. I like Jalen Polk. I like Polk better than Corley. However, I do think that there is a world where Corley is a more productive fantasy asset. Yes,
sure.
Polk's hands are better. I agree with that. I think these are some of the best hands in the class. I feel like Corley has the potential to be a better player and used more overall. Corley's upside is better as a wide receiver three on a team than if Polk is a wide receiver three on a team. I do think he will get those manufactured touches because of how good he is after the catch. 8.6 yards after the catch per reception. That's his yak rack, as it's called on PFF. That's amazing. That was in 23 and 8.2 for his career. And by the way, Polk's is 5.2 yards. His yak rack is 5.2. I'm saying yak rack.
We'll take it.
Career. So, you know, it's just one of those things when you have offenses, think of what Deebo Samuel does in an offense. And I'm not saying that Malachi Corley is the next Deebo Samuel. I'm also not saying that he's not that at all. But I think he can get schemed. This is a guy where if he's the third wide receiver in the field, he could be great. For example, if he was in Philadelphia, they could use a wide receiver three. Yes, they signed Devontae Parker. Stop. But Malachi Corley would fit in better there. And you know what? Even though he's about 3 inches shorter, I think he's a more physical player. There are a lot of times where I think Polk could have just worked through contact a little bit better. So, yeah, that's what we got right. Going.
It's close.
Yeah, it is close. Another close one. So let's move on. Jaden Daniels versus Drake May. Ooh. Nate, some people, we did a couple mocks a while ago where I saw Jaden Daniels, and this was a mock that you and I were in. Jaden Daniels went at the 101. So people taking him over Caleb Williams, over Marvin Harrison Jr. Crazy. But Jaden Daniels is the 104 in ADP, the quarterback three, and Drake May, the 103 in quarterback two. So we're both Drake May stands, as they call it.
We are.
So. Yes. I love what you're saying here about it, how Jaden Daniels throws to an open player while May shows the ability to more consistently throw in the open windows and throw players open. Such an underrated aspect of a quarterback's game. And that was something I was scouting Joe Milton. Same thing with Joe Milton. He could throw to a spot, but he cannot throw a wide receiver open. He can overthrow wide receivers really well. I'll tell you that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
I don't have to talk anymore, Mike. You're to my point. Like, thanks.
I just wanted to say that I love that.
Block you out said now.
No, you had one other thing on here.
Yeah. So, you know, with Daniels, he's such a great playmaker. You know, he's the best playmaker in the draft, especially running. Maybe from a holistic point of view, you could argue Caleb. But on the ground, running, there is no one better than Jaden Daniels. And that also allows him to create, you know, incredible plays outside the pocket, extend the play. He also has a good arm. But Mike, out of like the top 5-6 quarterbacks in this class, Jaden Daniels has the worst arm of any of them.
Really?
He has the 6th best arm in this class. Ooh. And actually,
is Pratt's arm better than his?
I'm not even including anyone after the top 6, so he's actually worse than 6 because Joe Milton definitely has a better arm. But Caleb has a better arm. Drake May has a better arm. JJ has a better arm. Michael Penix Jr. definitely has a better arm. And I think Bo Nix Jr. has a better Bo Nix has a better arm. So not that that's the Not that that's the end all be all. He has a lot more that he relies on than just his arm strength. But I think Drake May, like you said, you know, like your point, Mike, about him throwing players open and throwing to open windows rather than seeing players who are open and throwing to them. I think that just that better understanding of the quarterback position that May has shown so far, though he has a lot of inconsistencies, but so does Daniels. There's a lot of holes you can poke in all these quarterbacks, I think. So,
you know, it's funny. Caleb Williams, not you're talking about playmaker, he's not a big runner.
Yeah, he could run a lot more, but he doesn't. He's usually trying to throw the ball. Like, there's so many opportunities where Caleb is running around in the backfield and he has 5-10 yards he could take on the ground, but he continues just to run around, stay behind the line of scrimmage and find a way to throw the ball down the field. You know, a lot of people probably don't believe it, but Lamar does the same thing. Lamar, it's annoying sometimes that he doesn't run because he's trying to make something happen with his arm. And when you're that good with your running ability, and Caleb's not Lamar, but Caleb's a really good runner. And I like to see him run more actually.
So one thing I'll say is, you know, with Drake May, you hear the term sneaky athletic because he's actually a decent runner. Sneaky athletic is just means fast white guy. They said it about Daniel Jones. Exactly, they said it about Justin Herbert. But we're talking about rushing. Jaden Daniels does have more rushing yards, but my concern is the inability to protect himself. He just chooses not to, and that's not going to be good. And his frame is about 20 pounds lighter than Drake May's too. And you know what? Maybe at LSU, that's not a big deal. But in the NFL, that's going to be a big deal. Do you think, are people just getting prospect fatigue from Drake May? Because it seems to be one of those things where, like, everybody hates him. Or I don't want to say
hates him. Everyone's really down on him right now. I don't get it, honestly. I mean, they bring up the inconsistencies. Like, I mean, he has some boneheaded plays, but what quarterback doesn't in college?
He's 21 years old? Yeah.
He just finished his third season. Yeah. His first one was redshirt. So
I think the problem is they want these quarterbacks to come out, and if they're not super athletic, they want them to be the most cerebral guy on the planet. This is a 20-some-year-old kid. Like,
they want these quarterbacks to come out and be starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And it's just everyone can't do that. Quarterback coming out of college can just walk in and be a starting NFL quarterback. There's a reason that they used to sit for a year or two when you drafted them.
They need to go back to that. I think they need to go back to that. Let the journeyman out there, let him take the bruises. You look at David Carr. Maybe those of you who are not old enough to remember, David Carr was the first overall pick of the Houston Texans when they were an expansion franchise. Should have had a journeyman in there. Here, kid, carry a clipboard. You go out there and get your block knocked off. We're going to let this team develop a little bit. If we win a few games, great. But that probably set his career back tenfold.
Definitely did,
for sure. I mean, he still cashed in, made some good money, but still. All right, we got one more for you guys. It's Brian Thomas Jr. versus Brock Bowers. Crossing positions here. This one's always tough. Brian Thomas Jr., the 108, seems to be right where his ADP is. He's the wide receiver 4. Brock Bowers, the 107. He's tight end 1, ladies and gentlemen. Nate, start with you.
Yeah, here I went with Brock Bowers. And I think it's close, but it's team dependent. It could be team dependent, but in a vacuum, it's Brock Bowers for me, because I think Brock Bowers is that next level difference maker at the wide receiver position, at the tight end position. and I don't have questions or a lot of reservations about Brock Bowers. As much as I love Brian Thomas Jr., I have some questions about him and some reservations, and I can see a path to him busting. I can't really see a path to Brock Bowers busting. And with that in mind, you guys know me. I like the safe pick usually. I'm taking Brock Bowers. He's the guy I know I'm going to get an absolute stud at the tight end position. I can replace Brian Thomas Jr. most likely with a different player, a bit easier.
My consensus is this. I'm picking Brock Bowers. He is not related to me. There is no S in my name anywhere. There is in my middle name. If you guess it, you get nothing. However, you could find a Brian Thomas. There will be a Brian Thomas Jr. in every single draft. A wide receiver of his caliber, they're out there. There's five of them. There is not tight ends of this caliber in every single draft. Next year, we got some good guys coming out. Luke Lachey from Iowa. Got Ben Jurecek, who went to Georgia. There's going to be some prospects out there. There's going to be some deep dive guys as well. My God, Mike, learn how to talk.
You got it.
But right now, I don't see the top tier talent being there at the tight end position for this upcoming draft class. It's here right now in front of our eyes. Don't miss out on it to draft a wide receiver like this. That's all I'm saying, because if you're not taking Brock Bowers there, you're getting Brian Thomas Jr. or Troy Franklin, and I love both players. I'd rather have Bowers.
Yeah, it's not a slight to Brian Thomas Jr. It's just there's Brock Bowers is special. Yeah, you have a chance to get a special player. Don't waste it.
And he's been special since he was a freshman, too. This wasn't anything where he had one stellar year.
This guy was the offense as a true freshman for a national championship team.
Well, I don't know what more. As a tight end, yeah.
I mean, he's probably you could legitimately say he's the best tight end ever in college football. He's got two national championships. He's had like 800 plus yards every single season. I mean, what more could you ask of anyone ever?
I don't know who else. I don't think Gronk ever had numbers like that.
No, definitely didn't win any championships either.
I think Jeremy Shockey had a really good senior year, but we're going back a ways too.
Hey, we're 30 minutes into the show. If anyone out there knows of any tight ends better, let us know.
Yeah. DM Nate on Twitter.
Tell me a college tight end who did better than Brock Bowers, and then you can draft Brian Thomas Jr. at the 107.
There you go. All right, everybody. So until next time, for Nate, I'm Mike. Thanks for listening. All right, everyone. That is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code REWIND. A 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals and everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But till next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.